You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As our beloved Broadway community approaches a return, we are following four working artist mothers from both sides of the table and across diverse worlds as they emerge from this time of togetherness with their children. Two became pregnant and gave birth in the 17 months since the shutdown, while the other two paused the 8-show-a-week mom life juggle and are having to readapt to time away from their sweet babes, knowing now just how precious the moments with them are.
Tony nominee Elizabeth Stanley, Moulin Rouge's Corey Pettinod, choreographer Lauren Lataro, and Come From Away's Pearl Sun share their stories in our special four-part miniseries, Returning Reborn, the rebirth of the Broadway mom.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. I'm Jessica Rush.
And I'm Kara Cooper. The last time we spoke with today's guest, she was anxiously awaiting the arrival of her baby girl. Continuing our Returning Reborn series, this mama joins us today with sweet babe in her arms.
From the way becoming a mother changes you forever to pumping in the bathroom of the Tony Awards, she shares where she is in her motherhood journey and how she is feeling about her forthcoming return to Broadway's Jagged Little Pill. Here's our check-in with Tony nominee Elizabeth Stanley. Well, Elizabeth,
welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. Yeah, we won't keep you for long because we know this time is so wild and precious, but thank you for coming on to.
It's good. It's so fun to talk to other moms now that I really am one.
Welcome. I was like,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, have you gotten used to I wrote hi, mama, on the email last night. And then I realized, like, have you gotten used to hearing that? Oh, or realizing that that's you?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. Because it's something I've played moms a couple times now. So, like, I kind of had it as a practice trial run. You know, people would sort of say things like that to me. Like Celia would always say that to me in Jagged Little Pill. She always called me mama. Mm-hmm. But it's fun now that it's like for real. Yes.
Well, will you introduce us to your sweet girl?
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's switch sides. Maybe that'll be more satisfying.
Yes.
Hey. So this is, she's going to be a little sad. This is Solvay Amelia.
Solvay.
Okay.
She's like, I do not want you to show
me. I was trying to have a snack. God. Don't stand between me and my snacks.
Right.
Okay.
It's so nice.
To the other
girl.
Side. Just don't mind my boobs.
No. I remember those tank tops.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Game changers.
Okay. Oh, let's see.
There we go.
Yeah, the sweet sound of snacks.
How is all that going? Is nursing going well? It seems to be. I know, you know, for some women, that's a big struggle.
I know. I was really worried because I had a lot of friends who really struggled with it. But so far, so good. You know, there's definitely a learning curve, like in the first, like, several days that I was kind of like, I think I was trying to be like an A plus student. Like I was just like, okay, there is a little bit of pain, which I know there's not supposed to be. So, you know, and then luckily
I don't know why they say there isn't supposed to be pain. Like it hurts until like your boobs get used to it. It just does. Like I know that there's bad pain, but like it's painful.
Yeah. And I think that's what I learned. But luckily I had like a couple really good friends who were like, okay, she's 3 days old. Calm down. It's going to be okay. And I was like, okay.
For sure. Oh my gosh. The letdown, that feels so good. Right. I feel like I said this to someone one day. I was like, that letdown is better than an orgasm. I'm just going to say, right. It's like that feeling when you're so full and you're just like, give me the baby. And then it happens. You're like, oh my God.
Except when it happens on stage and you're in costume and you're like, please do not go through my breast pads right now.
Yes, that is true. That is not a good thing. But
something
Elizabeth,
to look forward to.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, how much longer do you have? You have a while, right?
Yeah. So we're trying to figure it out now. Because you know what? Yesterday was the first day where I was like, okay, I really miss my old life. You know, I've really been so lucky in that I felt like pretty like blissed out and happy. And, you know, I mean, even the moments when I've cried and they've been hard, like it's still been like, I definitely feel like this is the only place I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I started feeling a little bit of FOMO like last week the cast moved into the theater, or I guess the beginning of this week. And I was like, but I still was like, I can't imagine being there. But yesterday I was like, I feel ready to start thinking about going back, you know, to start thinking about it. So I think, Diane and I were just texting today and that hopefully by mid-November I'll be back in. So yeah, so I still have like almost a month to kind of wrap my head around it and then start slowly. Like they just sent me a new script this morning because there are some updates and, you know, and I know things are going to be different. Like in some ways it's going to be like, I'm the understudy for the role. Like, cause things are going to have changed. Just there's a new Frankie in addition to Heidi doing MJ. So it's just like, things are going to change. And I think that's good. I mean, not that I'll even remember what I did before, frankly, but also like, I just think, to try and do it exactly like I did before would not feel very creative probably. And I think it might be easier and more fulfilling to like just embrace all the ways in which everything and everyone has changed and let that be okay.
Well, and you've changed.
That's what I'm saying now. Talk to me later and I'll be like, why this is hard.
Well, and you've changed like to your core. So like the way you would approach this role now is changed, forever changed. Yep. So it's like so good to be going into it with that mindset of it's not going to be exactly the same. And when you do go back, you don't have to jump right back in, right? Like it's a slow build, which is such a gift that you don't have to go back to 8 shows a week.
That feels like, I think that's what it lets me feel like, okay, I'm ready to go back, you know, because it's not like, oh God, you know, I know what that is. And I just like bow down to those of you who have done it. It's just like, that's hard. But yeah, Heidi and I are doing the split week. So it's, you know, going back to 4 nights a week feels like, okay, that's manageable.
Yeah, doable. Yeah. And I mean, that's so incredible that they're doing that. I mean, that is, when we saw that announcement and then followed by Hadestown also doing that so that Amber Gray can be home with her 2 small children. It's like, okay, so this conversation about change and coming back better is, you know, maybe beginning to seep into the motherhood aspect of this community as well.
Right. Yeah. Because, and there's like a long ways to go, obviously.
Oh my God. So
make
long.
It be equitable for everyone. Like I recognize like as a principal, I'm being given, you know, I'm allowed to even ask for those things and have that conversation in a way that like not everyone is. But yeah, I'm grateful that it's a start, right? We have to start somewhere.
For sure. For sure. And I think hopefully that can all just trickle down. You know what I mean? It's like in London, ensemble members share roles and they do that. And so, you know, I think it's not so many shows run for the amount of time that there are tours or there are other companies. And so there are people with costumes that are ready to go that can just come and fill in. And so it's not, I think that the cost wise or like the idea, you know, they get caught up in that. Producers would be like, oh, but we have to pay someone this much and we have to do this. But so many of us would be willing to only get paid for the shows we do. You know, right. I would do four shows a week and only get paid for four shows a week and be perfectly happy, you know? So I do think that there's
as long as it's contributing to health insurance.
Yes.
That would be the thing.
Yeah.
Well, we have to add all those things to our list of all that we're talking about changing and trying to do. Okay. So let's go back. So how was your labor delivery? Will you share with us about that?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, it was long overall. It was like 50 hours probably.
Oh.
But what I learned, I will just say now, like in talking with my team afterwards, they were like, you didn't have like a super intense labor. Like sometimes people who have a, you know, a more swift labor, I think all of the sensations are like much more intense. So I guess for those people who are going, oh my God, I couldn't survive the kind of labor I had if it lasted that long, maybe mine was not as intense. So I started having like my liver enzymes were a little elevated in the days leading up to my labor. And I was like a little past 40 weeks. And so that my team is really not into induction, but they were like, just because that's a little like, we just don't want that to get out of control. It's just sort of signaling like your body is like, hey, we're ready to not be pregnant anymore. Like we should do some like home induced like induction thing. So I had acupuncture and then I was like using the breast pump to kind of stimulate my nipples, which I guess releases oxytocin, which then helps your contractions start. And so Charlie and I were watching a movie while I was like pumping and I was like, I don't know if these are just like more Braxton Hicks or if this is like really it, but they don't really hurt, but they're consistent, you know? And my midwife was like, great. If you're someone who can't even tell if they're really contractions, lucky you. And I was kind of like, okay. And so then I went to bed and then like at 2 a.m. we woke up and I was like, oh, I think this is happening. Hey girl. And then, so my midwife and doula came to the house like around 7. And so my labor progressed, but then it also kind of slowed down. So like by mid morning, it was like a little slow again. And so they were like, okay, we're going to go because labor doesn't like to be watched. We're going to like, you know, keep checking in on you, but we want you to rest. And I was kind of like, sure, I'll just rest through these contractions, but okay. And I felt really, I felt embarrassed that I had like called them there too soon. And I felt like defeated, you know, that it had started and was slowing down. And then I also felt like scared because I really was planning on like a drug-free labor. But I was like, if this isn't really it, like I'm screwed because this hurts. But so they didn't tell me at the time because they didn't want to like stress me out more, but my blood pressure was really elevated. So they left, but Charlie was taking my blood pressure like every hour and texting it to them. And so by like 4:30 in the afternoon, my midwife like FaceTimed and she was like, so the combination of your liver enzymes plus your high blood pressure may mean that you are heading towards preeclampsia, which we don't want to mess with like in a home birth. So we're calling a transfer in, they're expecting you. And so that was like disappointing because it wasn't like what we had hoped for, but also it felt like safe that, you know, we weren't like being risky. And I was just like, okay, I'm sad about this, but I'll deal with that later. Like right now I just need to like stay in the zone. So I felt like I was like in the zone, like a zombie for days. just like in this like, you know, blood-stained house dress, just like a zombie like walking around.
But so I like you just said house dress.
I know.
It was literally like this giant like muumuu from like Zara that my friend had sent me. She's like, this would be a good pregnancy dress for you. I was like, thanks. Yeah, so we transferred to Metropolitan Hospital, and which is a midwife-friendly hospital. So it was great. So Charlie was there as well as my midwife and my doula, which especially in the time of COVID was really, I think, lucky that they both got to be there. Mm-hmm. And the staff was great. And they didn't pressure us to like move too quickly or to, you know, have interventions. But it just kind of took a long time. So finally they did break my water. And they had to keep draining my bladder. I couldn't pee during labor for whatever reason. I just like couldn't do it. And then they think that like my bladder and the baby's head were like competing for space in terms of like really finally like dropping all the way down. So like the third time they did that after they broke my water, then it was like, oh, okay, now it's time. And so I didn't have to push for too long, which was lucky. And I was able, okay. Hey girl, are you reliving the moments? I know it's really dramatic for you. But I was able to like labor on all fours, which I was glad. And was still able to do it without the drugs. And so, you know, I felt it was a teaching hospital. So it was also good that I was like on all fours because I couldn't see that it was like a room full of people watching. And especially because, you know, it was a home birth transfer. So that's like not your everyday adventure for the hospital. And then because I wasn't laboring on my back, it was also like a learning experience. Like Charlie was saying at one time, like some of the younger doctors were like trying to massage my perineum. And the doctor's like, no, that's backwards. You know, you have to imagine she's flipped over.
Oh,
I'm glad.
Oh, God. God. Oh, my God.
But anyway, it was beautiful and hard and long. And just like the journey of labor was filled with so many just like peaks and valleys of like, you know, okay, I'm gonna do this, or I'm exhausted, or I'm scared, or you know, just all of the parts of it were just what a ride. And then it was awesome that first hour of just like. Also, I was grateful that I got that. Like, just doesn't always happen, but depending on whatever is, you know, health wise needed with you or your baby, but we were able to have that first hour of no one messing with us in the hospital. Which was just, it went by so fast. You know, I was like, oh my God, it's been an hour. And then they like take her away to like do the heel pricks and all of that. And then my midwife was like, do you want to see the placenta? And so I was like, yeah. So I was like laying on the hospital bed looking at the placenta. And I have this hilarious picture where my doula was like, let's make sure that you eat. So I'm like eating a cheese stick with one hand and like touching, like poking the placenta with the other hand. I was like, that's a choice.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Oh, man.
I think that's so good for people to hear too about the home birth and how, like, you know, people have a lot of fears about doing a home birth because of safety, but your team was so well aware of any complications that, you know, and they did right by you by making sure you were in a place that if something were to go wrong, that you'd have what you need. You know, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about home birth. So it's really good for, I think, probably for our listeners to hear that part of your story.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I feel like midwives and doulas are so, to a certain degree with the home birth, I mean, you are their sole focus, as opposed to the nurses or doctors in the hospital who are dealing with several different women at the same time, you know, and they're able to focus on you, and they really, and they've connected with you. You've been talking to them throughout, you know, your process and getting to know them. So they're invested in you as a human, and yes, your health and safety may be on a level that's different from those who you might just, you know, like when they're numerous doctors in an office and it's like, oh, well, this is the doctor that's delivering and you've never met that doctor before because, right, you know.
Speaking from experience, two different births. My first birth was in a hospital. I wanted to go all natural. It was at what was Roosevelt then, and I wanted to go on the birthing floor. They wouldn't let me because I was too many weeks. I was like just past how many days I could be overdue. And the doctor that ended up doing a C-section was not the doctor that my doctor, was another one in the practice. Second birth, I had a midwife, I had a doula. It still was in a hospital. It still ended in a C-section. However, the process was completely mine. Mm. I was the one in charge. I was the one making the decisions. It felt like it was my experience. It wasn't anybody else's. And the two experiences could not have been more different.
Wow.
You know, and you know, you don't want to just, I mean, and maybe it is, people have lots of different perspectives, and maybe people are okay just like being a number, being like, no, I just want to have this baby and it's fine. But that wasn't, after having that experience, I was like, I never want to do that again. Oh. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I loved having a midwife because she did. She knew everything that I wanted, and we had a relationship, and she knew my older child, and like, it was just so lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt real. I mean, I felt my privilege. I definitely did. I felt like, this is lucky that I had these, you know, concierge, basically like medical team, like accompany me to the hospital, because I could feel that and also hearing other people. But I was like, I know this would not have been the experience I would have had if I just like showed up at the hospital and was like, here we go. Yeah. Which again is, for a lot of people, I think that's great. That's what they want. And it's totally fine. But I'm like you, I wanted to take control of the experience and have it be as like, have there be as much room for like the natural and the sacred in it as possible, mm-hmm, while also being safe and, you know,
of course,
doing whatever I needed to do.
Yeah.
Now that, okay, so you're 8 weeks in it. Yep. She's been here for 8 weeks. What has been like the most surprising thing to you? The thing that you couldn't have understood before actually becoming a mom?
Oh, I mean, it's so many surprises.
you don't have to pick
how good it feels to put those cold witch hazel pads in your underpants. Like, that's one of the things, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, it's so cliche, but like it's so real, the passage of time, like how, you know, you always hear parents be like, oh my God, it goes so fast. And you're like, oh, okay. Or at least I was before I became a parent. And now I feel, she was 3 days old and I was like, it's going so fast. You know, like I really meant it.
Buckle up.
I know. I can only imagine. It just like keeps going. So I think that like really caught me by surprise how real that feels. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that it keeps shocking me. And I think like the preciousness of like seeing other people's children and then like how that makes you kind of like have feelings about like your own, you know, like Laurel, who's my understudy in Jagged, she just had her baby.
Yes.
Yeah, like a few days ago. And so I've been talking with her, and I just said to Charlie last night, I was like, I literally want to text her like every 15 minutes and be like, how's it going? No, but I want to text her like every, you know, 5 minutes and just like check in and be like, how's it going? What about this? What about this? And And I was like, that is only because now I've had this experience myself that I like feel this joy for someone else in a different way.
I'm not meaning to bring it down, but in the way you view the world then shifts too, because you feel that joy, but you also can feel that pain of what a mother could feel for their children. And I think like your scope of empathy is just so deepened by the experience, which is wonderful. Like the highs are higher and the lows are lower, whatever, you know, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I want to, before we close out, I have to say shout out for the post you shared from the Tony Awards. We have to talk about that. So, you know, Miss Elizabeth Stanley is nominated for Best Actress in a Musical in the Tony Awards for Jagged Little Pill, holla. And that took place, what was it, like 3 weeks ago? No, 2 weeks ago now, maybe? I'm not sure. Yeah, but
3 weeks ago.
You were, you know, maybe what, 5 weeks postpartum? And pumping, and you shared a picture of yourself on the toilet pumping in your gown in a public restroom. The glamour. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that. How was the, I mean, I'm sure the response has been incredible. Have you been surprised at how people have connected to that, or at least sort of been surprised, or I don't know. I feel like it's not something we share. We talk about it in our mom groups, but for you to put it out there to particularly your followers who probably tend to be a lot of younger, you know, younger people who might not have that frame of reference.
I think it was surprising to me. I almost posted it like initially when I posted like some pictures of the Tonys, I almost included it in that. And then I was like, I don't know. Is it like a little, you know, crass or like whatever. I just was. And then I was sharing it with another friend and she's like, oh my God, so-and-so did a post like that. And that sort of empowered me to also do it. And Charlie was like, you literally can't see anything. You just see you and you can tell that you're sitting on a toilet. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And so I should just like normalize it. So I think it was really wonderful. All the people that were supportive of it, and mostly like so many fellow moms being like, oh yes, been there. But then, you know, what surprised me is that then there were a lot of, not a lot, maybe like 10 people who are advocates for, you know, making sure that women have safe and clean spaces for pumping, that were like, please don't ever pump in a public restroom on a toilet ever again. Like, you know, hashtag Tony Awards, do better. And so then I was just like, oh, there, like the mom guilt is like so real. I was like, no, like this is a choice I made. Like, I didn't know when my category was being announced. I didn't know how many hours I could go without pumping. And so it was like a risk that I was taking to like sneak out. And I wanted the closest possible place to get back to my seat. And this was a handicap restroom and I felt fine. And, but so that, I guess, was, that surprised me just like,
well. Yeah. I mean, and sure. Is it great to pump in a public restroom? No, but we've all done it. And that's the larger conversation with regard to our society, that mothers are not thought about in that way. You know, there should be space wherever we are that is allocated, that is clean, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not just the Tony Awards. So I understand, like, being like disappointed in some ways with being like, no, don't hashtag that. Like, it's not just the Tony Awards. It's just society at large doesn't do that. I mean, I remember, and I think I shared this on your post. I remember going to the opening of The Last Ship when Eric was in it. I was 4 weeks postpartum, my first night out. And I didn't bring my pump. Like, I love Charlie with the bag with the pump in it on the red carpet. P.S. That was amazing. But like, I didn't bring my pump. And I remember distinctly going into the bathroom at the Neil Simon and bending over and just hand squeezing out my boobs, all this liquid gold into the toilet, because I had nowhere. I didn't, you know. And it's amazing also that like 7 years ago, we weren't even this sort of aware of mothers. Do you know what I mean? Like the conversations weren't happening really. And I just went in there and just squeezed and just right into the toilet, you know, and because there was nowhere to go and nothing to do.
Yeah.
But I just, the more we share those images or we have these conversations, we're here for it, because that's the only way we can start to make actionable change.
Yeah, I feel really lucky that like there's so many people before me that have like paved the way for making things normal. It just, it helps so much because there's so much of it that you're like, that's weird. I didn't know that was going to happen, you know? Yeah. And just to have other people be like, oh yeah, had that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. We got to talk about all these things more. It's like you go in and you're just sort of, you have no idea what you're, you have no idea. You have, that's the bottom line. You have no idea. Nope. You have no idea. And everyone thinks they will. Oh my gosh. Well, Elizabeth, thank you. And Solveig, is she asleep? Did she fall asleep?
You know, it's like she's asleep, but the eyes are doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got FOMO. She doesn't want to miss out.
She's like, oh, come on, let me in there.
You've got the best mom vibe, though. Like, even when she wakes up, you're like, oh, hey, with like a really relaxed tone. Oh. Like, you're just, your mom vibe is really soothing. So,
oh, well, thanks. I mean, I'm sure it's not like that all the time.
But... I mean,
thanks.
But you're nailing it. You're nailing it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you.
We'll talk to you once
time.
You're back and kind of check in and see what it's like once you're doing the show.
Really doing it.
Well, savor these weeks of quiet and peace with your girl, and yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
thanks, friend.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talking Loud. Special shout outs to Justin Squiggs Robertson for our fabulous new graphic, Kristen Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Wardweber for our awesome theme song, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.